Good morning. Welcome to everyone here this morning. To everyone that's here visiting with us and those that are joining us on video and audio recordings. This morning I'd like to start with a poem that I saw on a poster downstairs. It's part of the new decorations that Hank and Jewel have put up for spring down there. It's called "Each Day is a Gift from God." God has given us morning, brightness, and sun, laughter to share, and work to be done. He has given us rainbows, flowers, and song, and the hands of our dear ones to help us along. God has given us a prayer with its wonderful power to lighten our hearts in a troublesome hour. He has given us blessings to brighten our way, and always the gift of another new day. In Psalm 118, verse 24, it says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it." So now that you have that song in your head, let's stand and sing it together. The words are on the back of the bulletin. Thank you for that great singing, and thank you, Carla, for the playing. Let's join together in the call to worship. We will read it together as it's written in the bulletin. Lord God, you come near, you call us by name. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. O Jesus, in your voice we hear all the tenderness of God. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. O Spirit of truth, you give us the energy of God. You give us hope to speak. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let's bow for prayer. Holy God, you call us together to reflect on your word and our life in your world. Be with us now as we sing and pray together, that we may hear your voice and understand your way. This we pray through Jesus. Amen. Let's continue singing some praise songs. The first one is number 16, God is Here Among Us, in the blue hymnal. Please stand if you're able.
Amen.
for the second song, number 121, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. Let's bow for prayer. Gracious God, we come to you this morning to praise and thank you. When there is nothing we can say, we give you thanks that your Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. We thank you for abundance that we can share with others. Loving God, when there is nothing we can do, we give you thanks that you are working for good in the world of struggle and pain. We are thinking today of those that have lost their loved ones. We think of others with health problems, those with recovering from surgery, all those dealing with the effects of the COVID-19 virus. We also pray for those worshiping in other churches today. Especially, we think of Eastside Church of God and of the Fisk Mennonite Church and their pastors. We are also praying for the Zohr Mennonite Church in Waltheim as they have their last service together this morning. In our concerns and in our choices, in our disappointments and in our joys, we bring our prayers to you, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The scripture reading this morning that goes with the sermon is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. And I'll be reading it out of the New International Version. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me whatever he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear in Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. This morning service will be one that we have taken from the website of MC Saskatchewan. They have put several sermons online for churches to use. The one this morning is being given to us by Josh Wallace. He is the church engagement minister for MC Saskatchewan. He serves in listening and resourcing congregations in mission within their local communities and with neighbors and around the globe. He lives in Saskatoon with his wife Cindy and two children. We'll listen to his service now.
Church, pray with me. Word of God made flesh, Good Shepherd, tenderly calling our names, search our hearts. Shine on us the light of your face and illumine the path where you call us to walk. Amen. Now the Lord came and stood calling as before. 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. Here is hope. If we were to listen to 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, we'd find that God's people were in a world of trouble, injustice within and threats surrounding them on all sides. If we look around where we live today, we may well find a similar situation. But it's right here that the Lord stands calling as before. Our God is faithful, constant, present. Our God still shows up. Our God is still calling us. This is great hope. We are nearing 1 year into a time that feels anything but usual, stable, or steady. A pandemic was just peeking its head around the corner in late winter 2020, and that was a year ago. And as we've been recently reminded, many of the challenges and changes our congregations are facing today, well, they were already pressing in on us months and years before this coronavirus landed in Canada. A group of MC Sask pastors have been talking our way through a book by Andy Root titled Faith Formation in a Secular Age. When shrinking numbers or questions about what it even is we believe or why this faith matters, when they begin to press into our hearts or our congregational lives, Andy Root reminds us that we're at one moment in a history that reaches back more than half a century. These are generational shifts that getting back to normal or finding a new normal won't undo. We're living on uneven ground, and from here the future looks unclear. Yet here the Lord stands calling. 1 Samuel chapter 3, it sets the scene with three realities. Number one, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. Number two, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dark, was lying down in his room. But number three, Samuel was lying down in the temple where the Ark of God was. The first two realities, the lack of vision, Eli's weak eyes, they go together. Eli, the chief priest and elder responsible for attending to the Ark of God, had weak eyes. His vision had grown dark. It's little surprise then that there's no vision. And Eli, well, he'd certainly seen much to make him want to look away, make him want to close his eyes. There was gross corruption within his own house, as well as in the institution of the priesthood. And then you turn back a few pages to the book of Judges, and there had been plenty of bloodshed, civil war in living memory, years of terrorizing and traumatic raids by neighboring nations. Eli and much of Israel, they had seen too much. Their suffering had darkened their sight. They resigned to tragedy, went to bed, turned their face to the wall, and waited to die. But the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Verse 3. The Hebrew term for lamp here is near. This is the lamp of God. Now, before this story, the term shows up only in descriptions of the tabernacle. It's the holy menorah that burns to show that God's here at home, dwelling in our midst. In later poetry, this sacred lamp, it symbolizes the power and the presence of God. This lamp, this holy lamp of God's presence, had not yet burned out. The Lord stood there, calling as before. And right here, in the midst of heartache and holy presence unobserved, the child Samuel lays near the Ark of God in the house of God. We got to celebrate that right where we are, our God still is truly Emmanuel, God with us. Our God stands near. The voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calls us each by name. This is hope. This is our good news. But there's more to this story. just like there's more to our stories. Samuel is a book of generations. Generations living through tremendous change. In its history, Eli, the elder of Israel, a judge jaded by all he's seen, passes the torch to Samuel, who grows into a prophet, who anoints Saul, the tall and insecure, who is disturbed and displaced by David, the flawed but beloved king, whose failures more than his faith set the shape for future generations. This chapter, 1 Samuel 3, it stands right on the precipice of all this change. Change that leads through heartache and tragedy, but is always accompanied by the prophetic presence of God. In Samuel, we meet the first of these prophets who communicate God's nearness, God's tender and strong, compassionate and fierce speaking voice. Samuel grew up in the temple. He is a child of promise, a gift of God to a heartbroken woman who then gifted him back to God. Samuel, since he could feed himself, has grown up in the company of God talk and hymns, priestly protocols, prayers for protection and prosperity, the etiquette of being a helper to the elders of Israel. Samuel's heart is turned toward God and to helping others. He repeats over and over 5 times in this chapter, "Here I am, how can I serve?" He's got the kind of heart we long for in ourselves and especially for our kids and our grandkids. I think he learned this hope and devotion to God from his mom. Hannah's prayers in chapters 1 and 2, they ring out with this trust, utter commitment to God. But there's one problem. Verse 7 names this obstacle at the heart of this story. Samuel didn't know how to hear God. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He's got a heart of gold, but he doesn't know what to do with it. Now, we might hear this narrative aside as simply telling us that, well, Samuel hadn't met God yet. You know, I grew up with that story, fixing attention on whether someone had met Jesus yet or not. For the strain of Christianity I grew up in, that moment of personal encounter and personal decision was what mattered most. And it does matter, incredibly. But when all we asked was, "Have you met Jesus?" Well, we overlooked how large a role our community has, and how we see and how we hear him, if we see and hear him, when Jesus calls our names. Eli was Samuel's community. It seems Eli with the weak eyes had not taught Samuel to see and hear and know the voice of God. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to Samuel. It's funny how growing up in the house of God, Samuel never learned to hear the voice of God. He seemed to have learned a lot of other things, how to tend the holy lamp, the protocol for opening up shop in the morning, how to come at Eli and the institution's needs at their beck and call, but not to hear God. When I was a teen, I spent a summer working in a camp kitchen. Now, I learned a lot of tips and tricks, how to reheat industrially manufactured omelets and pancakes, how to drop baskets in a deep fryer, how to rehydrate powdered mashed potatoes. But I didn't learn actually that much about cooking. I thought I had, but when I later first moved out on my own as a young adult, I discovered I didn't know the first thing about frying an actual egg or roasting a chicken. Sociologist Christian Smith observes that a similar thing can happen for folks who grow up in church. Now, we assume they're meeting Jesus, but all they're actually getting is something prepackaged, industrially manufactured. Smith labels this moral therapeutic deism, a general sense that there's a God somewhere out there who wants us to be nice and hopes we'll be ourselves and will probably take us to heaven when we die. It's a nice story. It seems that Samuel ended up with something similar, though he hoped and longed, like many of us, for something so much more. Again, I think he got this from his mom. Samuel needed his community, his elders, Eli, to teach him how to hear the voice of God. God is calling and calling, but Samuel doesn't understand. He keeps running to Eli, thinking that this voice in the night is just the call of a priest, of an elder, of an institution. We do see that Eli, jaded as he may be, is clear that there's no future in an institution ignoring God's revolutionary presence. Another prophet in chapter 2 had promised Eli just this. And so Eli speaks the truth. Thank God. He speaks the truth. He tells Samuel honestly, "My child, I didn't call you." And then even more joy, though his eyes are heavy and cried dry from the hopeless history he's witnessed, Eli sees what's happening. Verse 8, Eli perceived that the Lord was calling Samuel. And Eli teaches Samuel the simple way to hear God. Don't run for the priest. Simply respond, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." God stays close. God keeps calling. And Samuel, through Eli's help, knows now how to hear God. With Eli's help, Samuel meets God, and through him, the living voice of God comes to all Israel. The story goes on. God has news, a promise. And it is bad news for Eli's house. Bad news for Eli. But let us not forget that this is profoundly good, life-saving news for the impoverished of Israel, for the women of Israel. In chapter 2, we heard about Eli's sons, a priest and a priesthood, elders in Israel who abuse the poor, who turn religion into profit, who assault the women who volunteer in the house of God. It's not the institution that God hates. It's those who use it to violate others who are an abomination to God. Like Hannah, Samuel's mother, sang earlier in chapter 2, God's message declares that, yes, God is here, that God has not forgotten the suffering of God's people, that God's tender mercy means that God is in the business of bringing wrong to right. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The Lord raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. This is the story that fills the rest of the books of Samuel. In the power of kings and in the overthrow of kings, through the rise of the mighty and their downfall, God makes what was wrong right. God brings life to the left for dead. God breaks the rod and destroys the spear that stole the bread from the mouths of the hungry, stole self-worth from those abused. And judgment begins, God says, at the house of the Lord. When a generation, the COVID generation, the care home generation, the babies in cradles, the kids in universities, folks like me trying to make it through a work week of Zoom meetings and negotiations, when we, Church of God, learn to hear the voice of God, this is what is unleashed. The mighty Spirit of Jesus blows upon our world of trouble, on the pressures within and the worries and the disasters and the upheavals and the tragedies, and works the wrong to right. If you know that voice, even if this year, this course of years, the events of a lifetime have made you doubt, give up hope, despair, if you know how to hear and know that voice, teach us. Tell this generation, longing but unsure, those words you long learned by heart. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Teach us, share with us, to know the call of God. And you who long for God, waiting like Samuel for a voice in the night, know that God is standing near, calling you by name in the tender voice of his son, Jesus. That God is here with compassion and with power, asking you to become a beacon and an ambassador of that power and presence to make the whole world whole. God is only waiting for you to respond, to know God's voice, to listen, to say, "Here I am, send me." Let us learn together how to hear the voice of Jesus. Church, God is here. God is calling to us. God has not forgotten us. God has not given up or walked away. God is here, promising all things made new. Amen.
As a hymn of response, let's sing number 499 in the blue hymnal. We will sing verses 1, 4, and 5, please. And if you can, please stand. Bow for the benediction. God of power, may the boldness of your spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your spirit lead us. May the gifts of your spirit be our goal and our strength, now and always. Amen. We'll close with song number 430 in the hymnal. Peace.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.